Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter number 28. We will get back to the book of Acts in a few weeks here, but being this close to Easter and that next Sunday morning, the message or the sermon is normally a little bit more condensed and more of a presentation of the gospel. I wanted to speak a little bit this morning about a Easter style message. Matthew chapter 28, you see the ladies are heading to the sepulcher and they're going to find that Jesus is not there. Over and over in the scriptures, you see a certain phrase that says, fear not. And this is one of the things that the angel of the Lord had told to one of the women that day. And that's the thought today is entitled today's message is fear not. It's usually when God says this to an individual, it's usually God himself or an angel speaking to his children and encouraging them to continue on in the service. And it's throughout the whole Bible. In the Old Testament, God told Abraham, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Abram helped bring back Lot's family after Sodom and Gomorrah had been captured by those different kings. And he watched Lot leave and he was probably feeling a little bit overwhelmed. He had nothing left. And God comes to him and says, look, don't be afraid. He says, I will be your shield and thy exceeding great reward. He also talked to the nation of Israel when he says, behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it as the Lord God of thy fathers have said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. Throughout all the Bible, it says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Another verse says, and he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. It's a really interesting Bible study. If you go through and look at all the different fear nots. Another one says, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take thee unto thee Mary to be thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. You know what? God has promised us over and over that he'll take care of us. He even says in his word, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Even when he talked to Mary, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. When he talked to Zacharias, it says, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Isn't it wonderful? We do not have to fear because God hears and answers our prayers. And the Bible even says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body, soul, and body in hell. And continues on, and he says to the sons of Zebedee, which were the partners of Simon, and Jesus saith unto Simon, fear not, for henceforth thou shalt catch men. And the Bible says that as he was talking to Jairus, as he was heading to his daughter, they came and told him his daughter was dead, and Jesus says, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. The Bible even goes on and says, but even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are more valued than many sparrows. Acts 27:24, Paul is getting discouraged. It's toward the end of his life, and he thinks that, was it really matter? He didn't get to accomplish what he wanted. And Jesus came and said, fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Revelation 1:17 is probably one of my favorites. John falls to his face, and he said, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. He is the beginning and the ending. Now, what do we have to fear? And you say, what does that have to do with Easter? You think about it. For those years that they walked with Jesus, they worshiped Jesus, they saw Jesus do the disciples, they did these miracles, and these women, they ministered unto him. And it comes to this spot in this moment, their Savior has been put on the cross, died on the cross, and they're heading to anoint his body. They're afraid. They don't know what the future has. And here the message is from the angel, fear not. This morning, I'd like to look at a couple different things that hopefully can help us to understand why we do not need to be afraid and how we can, by faith, go on the same way that Jesus encouraged his disciples after his resurrection to go on to. Let's look here in Matthew chapter 28. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. The Bible says, and the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Now we know who Mary Magdalene is. We do not know who this other Mary is. Many people believe it's Mary, the the mother Jose and the mom of James and John. And behold, there was a great earthquake. And so this gives a description of that first Easter Sunday morning. There's a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone. Remember the stone that was put before the sepulchre, this huge stone from the door. And then that next phrase, and sat upon it. I think that's kind of cool. He was sitting there waiting for them to come. He knew everything was going to happen. And this is the whole point is Easter is not a surprise to anyone. They knew what was coming. They knew these ladies were coming. And he rolled back the stone. And these ladies are anxious. They're fearful. The disciples are anxious. They're fearful. The angel of the Lord is like, this is the way it was all supposed to happen. He's sitting on the stone. And it says in verse number 4, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And verse number 5, and the angel answered and said unto the women, here's that phrase, fear not. It says, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them up, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. I mean, what words there? You can imagine for those 3 days they were in fear. For those 3 days they didn't know what was going to happen. Was he real? What was he, the Messiah? Was he a prophet? Who was he? And on these 3 days, that first Easter morning, these women are coming to anoint the body of Jesus. They meet the angel of the Lord, and his first words were, fear not. I want to encourage you this morning, we do not need to be afraid. Over and over in the Bible, as we've read just a few minutes ago, fear not is found. Fear not is a flower which grows very plentiful in God's garden. Not having the fear, not having the worry is something that God intends his believers to have as a characteristic. Charles Spurgeon put it this way, Now I gather from the plentifulness of fear nots, even in the Old Testament, that the Lord does not wish his people to be afraid. That he is glad to see his people full of courage, and especially that he does not love them to be afraid of him. He would have his children treat him with confidence. Slavish fear may be thought to be congenial in the Old Testament, and yet it is not so. For there the Lord cries to his chosen, fear not. Fear not. He does not want us to have a life of fear. So there's 3 points here I'd like for you to look at this morning, and I'd like to share with you, and I pray that this can be a help to you as we look at this sermon, fear not. First point is, our Lord knows. Our Lord knows. So what does that mean? He knew all of this. The great and the wonderful thing is you see it over and over in this Easter story, he knew exactly what was going to happen. It talked about how they came and they brought swords and weapons and staves, and they were going to felt like they had to search the whole garden to find Jesus and darkness. And it says as they were approaching, he steps out of the shadow and he says, whom seek ye? He went to them because he knew where they were going to be. He knew Judas was going to bring them there. He knew all about it from step by step. On the cross, you know, he calls and he said things to happen. And he said, why? So scripture might be fulfilled. He chose Judas, so scripture may be fulfilled. He died according to the scriptures, it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Lord knows. We do not have to be afraid. The Lord knows what you're going through. The Lord knows everything you're experiencing. The Lord knows everything that you're facing. And he has given us this book that teaches we don't have to be afraid. Now, as I read through this story, and look what it says once again in verse number 5, the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye. One of the things that amazed me throughout the Easter story, and I know I probably mentioned in years past, is how the disciples missed it. I mean, he told them the night of he was going to be given over to the hands of the Gentiles. He was going to be crucified. And he told them that. And he even told them that he was going to rise again in 3 days. You know what? And they missed it. These women were coming to anoint the body, the dead body of Jesus. And they missed it. They were deceived. And that's it's the fear, or we fear deception. It says in Luke chapter 24, verses 6 and 7, it says, "And he is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." I mean, this is the amazing thing, is God knew everything was going to happen. They even told them what was going to happen. And on that third day, they should have had a celebration. There should have been a whole crowd there saying, "You know what? You killed him. But guess what? Jesus is going to rise from the dead. We're going to roll this stone away. And he's not going to be there because he's risen from the grave." You know, but they didn't. There's a small band of ladies that are walking there, mourning, probably crying, going to anoint the body of Jesus. Why is that? They were deceived. They believed it was the end. You say, "Pastor, what are you getting at?" I want us, when you think about this, Jesus knows everything. We do not need to be deceived. We don't need to be fearful. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." You say, "Pastor, what does that have to do with it?" I want you to understand today, we don't have to be afraid because God already knows everything. We don't need to let the devil deceive us into believing certain things. You say, "Well, how in the world would the devil deceive us as believers?" Well, you think about it. How many so-called Christians today struggle with things that the Word of God says? Their hearts have been deceived. I mean, there's people who say, "I'm a born-again Christian, I believe in Jesus Christ," but they think abortion is okay. Completely different with the Bible. Why? It's because they've been deceived. They think homosexuality is okay, even though the Scriptures tell us something. Why? It's because they've been deceived. They have become fearful of how people will respond to them and what people will say, fearful of what they will be looked at, fearful of maybe how they feel in their heart. You can't trust your heart. You know, people are deceived in so many things. And you think about it, they're deceived in music. You know, there's people out there who said they are God-fearing Christians that can listen to musicians that will sing music that is ungodly, that will mock the name of Jesus Christ and say, "Oh, that's just music. It's not a big deal." They can watch entertainment that goes against the principles of the Word of God and they can laugh at it. Why? They've been deceived. You think about it, what type of church you go to. It doesn't matter if they are teaching and preaching the right things. You know, if it's okay, because it doesn't matter what church you go to. Kids have in their own mind, because of society today and because of a lack of teaching, has been saying, "You know what? I don't have to listen to my parents." People who forget that immorality is against the Bible. Christians today, 85% supposedly of even Christians have sex before they're out of high school. Why? They've been deceived. He said, Christian, I want to encourage you today, we don't have to be fearful. God knows this. Don't let your heart be deceived. See, when we look at this word, you can look at it one of two ways. You can look at it as a book of standards, a book of regulations, a book of how God can take and our fun and make it all away. And just say, "No, I don't want it. It's not the way I want it." We can look at it that way. Or we can look at the God who loves us and the God who created us, the God who died for us, the God who sent his son on the cross to give us mercy and grace so we can have a home in heaven, has given us instructions and says, "Here is the best way to live your life. And if you follow these guidelines and you follow these principles, you will be able to embrace them and live a life that is spirit-filled and a life that is one that's honoring of me, a life that is able to bear fruit." But so often, no. Those things, that's not what I want to hear. So those ladies didn't want to hear that Jesus was going to die and rise again. So you know what? They put that out of their mind. Peter said, "They'll all forsake thee. I will never forsake thee." He was deceived. They were fearful when Jesus, they all scattered away. Only John followed and Peter followed far off. You know what? We have been deceived today. We have allowed the devil to deceive us and build strongholds up in our lives that are contrary to the Word of God, that tells us that husbands don't need to love their wives and wives don't need to submit to their husbands and children don't have to honor their parents. You know, the Bible says it, but we have been deceived into believing a lie. You say, what does that have to do with Easter? Well, you think about it. They didn't know he was going to rise again. They had been told that. You go through here and you read. Even at the cup of the upper room, it says, "Jesus, who's going to betray thee?" And he says, "The person who I sopped the bread with, they gave it to Judas." And they thought that Judas still was going to buy bread for the poor. They didn't even realize it was Judas. They were taken by surprise. And throughout the whole story, why is that? Because they didn't listen to Jesus to begin with. And Christians today, the reason why our churches are in such mess today, And the reason why some of the things I said, which aren't really even hard or tough things, when we talk about abortion, homosexuality, and ungodly music, ungodly entertainment, ungodly friendships, immorality, things like this that shouldn't even be questionable in a Christian's life, we've been deceived in thinking, well, is it really that big of a deal that a man and a woman live together before they get married? It is. Because the Bible says the bed undefiled. Now, yes, people sin. Why? Because they get deceived. We don't have to fear these things. We need to embrace the things that God said. They didn't embrace the things. They didn't listen to the things God was saying. When I read through it, the one person I think gets it is Mary of Bethany, and she comes and anoints his body before his burial. She knows that it's going to happen. I don't see her at the graveside. I think a few may have got it. But they came and they were surprised. They didn't believe it. John and Peter took off to look at the tomb. You know, they were deceived. We don't have to be deceived. God knows everything you need. And he has given it to you in this book. If we will, by faith, embrace it. Second thing, not only is it our Lord knows, the second thing is our Lord arose. It rhymes. And the next one will rhyme too, so that way it'd be easier to remember. Our Lord knows and our Lord arose. And some people fear death. We this past Wednesday, I got the privilege of preaching my grandmother's funeral, and I wasn't afraid for her. She had put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There was testimonies there. There was even other people who were there, either that on that day or saw that it happened, and they encouraged me with those words, and I was excited to know I don't have to fear death. As a Christian, as a believer, Jesus Christ arose. This is what the great thing about Easter is. He's not in the tomb anymore. He's not in the grave. He conquered hell, death, and sin. And you know what? He's alive today. It says here in verse number 6, he is not here, for he is risen. Imagine that those women, they're carrying these things. Sabbath day isn't all the way over yet. They feel a great earthquake, and the angels just sitting there waiting for them. And he says to them, look, fear not. Here's the reason why you don't have to be afraid anymore. He is risen. It's not the fact that somebody came and stole them like they're going to tell the Roman guards to say, he is alive today. You don't have to be afraid of anything anymore. Jesus Christ, when he said it was finished, he had paid redemption's price. He had taken care of our payment for sin. And when he rose from the grave, he saw that he was victorious over all that. And the angel says, look, don't be afraid. He's risen. I know you don't understand. I know you don't completely comprehend, but he's not here anymore. And the Bible teaches us this. In Luke 24, verse 5, it says, and they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth. They said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? The question was, why in the world are you here today? He's not here anymore. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Yet ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. If Hebrews chapter number 2, I've read these verses before, but as I was studying, this is a great verse for it. Look what it says on the screen, or you can look it up yourself. It says, for as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. What does that mean? Jesus Christ, God, became man. He flesh and blood. He became flesh and blood. He became man, but he never stopped being God. That through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death. See, sinful people must die. Sinful people's punishment of their sin must be punished. It says, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You see, we were under that bondage of sin. We are under the bondage of death and of sin, and we had no way out. And Jesus Christ came and partook of our flesh and our blood to become our sacrifice for us. And it says, through fear of death. This is how the devil has controlled things, is by the bondage of sin and the bondage of death. We will all die. But for a believer, we see what it says in 1 Corinthians 15:55. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Death does not have to be a sting for us. Death does not have to be a disappointment for us. Death is hope for us. We know that when we translate from this world to the other world, it's not going to be painful, because why? He is with us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death. And it says, But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He's saying here, he says, look, you don't need to be afraid. I know who you're looking for. He's not here. He has risen. Look for yourself. And that's why when Jesus told the disciples all these bad things, look, someone's going to betray me. Someone's going to deny me. I'm leaving. I'm going to die. I'm going to rise again. And their hearts and were shattered. Their hopes were broken. And he says, let not your heart be troubled. You're looking at it all the wrong way. Don't be fearful. I'm going to rise again. And we're looking at it all the wrong way when it comes to this world. Our eyes should not be set on the things of this world. He says, look, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, talking about the God of heaven. Believe also in me. There's a lot of Jews who believed in just the God of heaven, but they rejected Jesus as the Messiah. He says, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. He says, look, don't be afraid of what's going on. I know what's happening. I am going to rise from the dead. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Here's the thing, as Jesus is saying, I know you don't want me to leave, but I'm leaving, but I'm coming back. So that way, where I'm going to be at, you can be there too. We don't have to fear death. I know sometimes Christians do fear death. But this is where we have our hope in. It's found in the fact that he is not here. He has arisen. And a third thing I want you to see here, not only does our Lord knows and our Lord arose, but our Lord goes. Look what it says in verses 7 and 8. It says, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. And what an amazing thing he's telling these women who thought they were mourning the death of Jesus, who coming to anoint his body, worried how they're going to move the stone. It says, look, he's not here. He's arose. Now go. He's going to Galilee. You can see him there. There you shall see him. Lo, I have told you. He says, he's given them instructions. And it says, and they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy and did run to bring the disciples word. See, many times we fear duty. I say, what do you mean, Pastor? I says, we fear to do God's will. If we look at some basic things, God tells us to love him with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul. God tells us to reach out to the lost. God tells us to live a certain holy life. God tells us to treat our family a certain way. God tells us all these things. But many times we become fearful and says, I can't do that. I can't live that way. We can. Why is that? Because he goes before us. He says in Mark 16:20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, that phrase, the Lord working with them. You don't have to do these things by yourself. He knows what's going on. He knows what he's asked you. He knows what it was going to be like in the 21st century. He knew the challenges that we were going to face. And we don't have to fear death because he arose, which means he has power to take care of anything. If he can rise from the dead, he can do anything. But he goes before us. He gives us instruction, and he tells us, this is what I want you to do. Sometimes when people ask us to do something and they don't think we're going to do it the right way, they just go ahead and go with us and they do it for us. And sometimes that will frustrate us because we're like, why'd you even ask me to do it? But see, Jesus is the only one that can, in his power, do the things he's asked us to do. And we see here that he's going before us. And as you go out to venture out to be a soul winner, as you venture out to be spirit-filled, as you venture out to be the right wife, right husband, right child, right church member, whatever it is that he has asked us to do, we should go as they did, and they should run, and we should be excited about doing God's work. Because why? Because Jesus is going before us. He goes before you into Galilee. He's going to be there. He's going to be with you. And that's what it says in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 through 6, Let your conversation be without covetousness, referring to our way of life, be without covetousness. We do not need to desire anything that we do not have. We should be content with such things we have. Why? Because he has said, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What the Bible is saying there is, look, don't be covetous. Don't be looking for other ways around it. Don't try not to do God's will. God has gone with you. He's gone before you. He is going to help you. And you do not need anything else. You don't need to be covetous. You do not need anything else because he has said, I am with you. I'm never going to leave thee. Christian, I want you to get this. You have everything you need in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I don't have to be afraid. I have Jesus Christ that's gone before me. And you know what? Those ladies, when they saw that and they came back, I'm sure they ran. They said, he's alive. He's rose. I mean, what excitement is there. And it's the same thing for us today. He is going before us. He has promised us he'll never leave us, forsake us. Then why are we struggling so much? It's because we're afraid. Some of us are afraid of being deceived. We've been deceived into believing a lie, and we have strongholds in our life. Some of us are afraid of death. I don't want to have to face that. Some of us are afraid of duty. What in the world would happen to me if I had to give up my anger, my jealousy, my covetousness, my worrying, my lack of unforgiveness, or my bitterness I have? He's gone before you. He's willing to help you with it. You don't have to. You don't need anything else. Some people say, "Well, if I have this and if I have that, then I'll be." No. We're not covetous, because he has said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." He is everything you need. So fear not. When we consider Easter this year, you know, there's a lot of great stories in here, and I'm sure within the next few weeks, I'll be speaking about a couple different ones and looking at a couple of different things. But the Lord laid upon my heart that words, fear not. What are you afraid of? If you chose to live for God today and for the rest of this week, what are you fearful that would happen? We don't have to be afraid. We can give it all to him, because he knows, because he arose, and because he goes before us. This morning, if you're here and not sure of your eternal home, you do have much to be afraid of. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. These women here that said, fear not, they didn't have anything to be afraid of, because they had a Savior. They had a Lord Jesus Christ who had risen from the grave. But if you're here and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let me encourage you. You have much to be fearful for. Someday, the Bible says, prepare to meet thy God. Someday you will meet and stand before God and answer this question, why should I let you into heaven? There is no other way through Jesus Christ to the Father, but through Jesus Christ. The Bible says, I am the way. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You have something to be afraid of if you're trying to get to heaven any other way than through Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you this morning. Give your life to him. See your evil and your wicked ways as sinners that separate you from God. Repent of those sins and cry out to God and ask him to save you from your sins. He is the only one that can save you this morning. In just a second, we're going to have an invitation. I encourage you, if you're unsaved, to come forward and let somebody take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. And if you are a Christian this morning, we live a life of fear many times. Pastor, I'm big, I'm strong, I'm afraid of nothing. Then why aren't we serving over here? God says, do this, then why aren't we doing it? Many times it's because we're fearful of what will happen. I won't like this, or I won't like that. It couldn't be because we're selfish enough just to have things our own way. Of course it wouldn't be that. And yes, it could, but we don't like to admit it. Christian, today, we do not have to fear, because he knows. He knew everything. He's given us his completed word, shows us everything we have. He's in control of all things. He knew everything that was going to happen, this story, when it comes to Easter. He arose. Praise the Lord. No one else could do that. Every other religious leader is dead in a grave somewhere and ain't going to rise up again until God calls them to the great white throne of judgment, because no one else can do that but God. But he goes with us. We don't have to be fearful. He is there with you as you take a stand for what's right. No matter what the obstacles are, he goes with you. Let's go ahead and stand.